I would like you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. That means I'm talking of chapter 13. I will read two verses, 20 and 21. I read, now, everybody say now. Okay, praise the Lord. Let me explain why that now is there before I get to reading. Having said all that we have said, and with now a clearer understanding of what has happened and what is happening and what will happen and where we are now. So that is calling you to action. And now that is calling us to action, or that is concluding the matter. Praise the Lord. So now, see the way he's closing, say, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And people shout, amen. So there is no doubt that this section of the book of Hebrew and of this chapter is a prayer. There is no doubt about that. So it is a prayer. But you see, typical of Paul, now people don't know who wrote the book of Hebrew, but typical of Paul, this is his pattern, this is his style. You see, when Paul begins to teach a revelation, he comes with so much details that you begin to marvel. But he will always interject with prayers. And you see, his prayer points are usually the details of his teaching. So he will tell you what the situation is that you should know so you can walk in the light of it. But he won't just leave it so, because he knows you are still struggling to absorb what you are hearing. It's a bit difficult to think that you have this kind of power, or that you are this exposed to, to warfare. And Paul will make some things clear. So while he's still teaching, Paul will say, and I pray, and then he will begin to use the same teaching as prayer points for you. For example, if you look at the book of Colossians, let's flip to it. I just want to show you something there. Let me take it from verse 3. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always. What does he do always? Pray. Come on, talk to me, church. Praying always. For who? For you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So he's told you now that there's a hope laid up for you in heaven, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. He just said that he's bringing forth fruit and he's going to bring it in you. Now, he said, as you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love and the Spirit. Now, hear him. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. You see what I mean? And spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy. Look at his prayer points. Now leave that and continue reading. And by the time you get to verse 19, he's telling you, for it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, all the fullness should dwell. He's now teaching again. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He's continued. So he continued and he continued. And now he now gets into chapter 2. He continues the same discussion. He's on and on talking about what the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has done and what it means. And then you hear him now begin to pray again. He interjected it. Again, if you leave that and you go to Ephesians in chapter 1, he begins by saying a lot of things. I mean, some deep truths that will blow your mind. From Ephesians 1 to Ephesians 14. 1 verse 1 to 1 to verse 14. It's like, wow, where is this man getting all these things? And when he begins to talk, he's telling you that this is what I know and this is what I live by. Then in 15, he said, and I never stop to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That's verse 15 of chapter 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant unto you the Spirit and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know, and now be, the same truth that he's teaching, he begins to bring them out in prayers. And so it's not strange that we are seeing the same pattern here. And so what's the prayer here? It says, hey, now, may the God of peace, it could have just said God, who brought again our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. It didn't stop there. How did they bring him back? Say, through what? The blood of his everlasting. This guy is stating some truths and he's dropping them at appropriate places so they may be registered appropriately. Because your understanding will transport you immediately from where you are to where you are supposed to be. That's just the way the truth works. That's why the Bible says, you will know. Come on, help me, church. You will know what? The truth. And what is the knowledge? What does the knowledge of truth? What does it do to you? It will set you free. Not that you will know it and it now take you on a journey. No, no, no. It will set. Your knowing changes things. I'll give you an example. We have huge dogs, and when the dogs come, when they see you, they bark and they run towards the iron barricade. And one day I took Timilay out, and these dogs barked so much that Timilay ran from there. So he wouldn't even get out to the balcony downstairs. Where he would, he said, no, I don't want to go there. Then one day I said, you know what, let's go on a journey. So I took him. He said, daddy, I said, let's go. So I took him out and we went around. We went beyond the limit and we went towards the cage of the dog. And they were knocking. And he wanted to run. I didn't run. I held him. He stood for a while. And then I could leave his hand. And he was looking and he was saying, doggy. I learned that after. I mean, they scared him again. But now what I'm saying is that you take him on a journey is to get him to understand that these dogs cannot do what you think they will do. They won't do it to you. And that does not mean that I'm going to release the dog on him or release him to the dog. No, there are barriers that will keep him away from the dogs. But why should you be afraid inside a house for the dog that cannot come in? So acknowledge of the fact that these dogs cannot come in sets him free. Now listen, there are some dogs in the spirit. They can't come in. But until you know that, and that's the basis of what we're discussing today. Now, may the God of peace, who brought back our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the everlasting, or through the blood of the everlasting covenant, grant you perfection. I like it in the Message version, because by the time the Message makes it so contemporary, at the end, it now says something like, by the time he finished stating what he was stating, he said, oh yes, yes, and yes. Wow, I said, that's conviction. And what I want to achieve today is to let you into a bit of these things so that you can walk in your authority. It was not in vain that he died. Glory be to God in the highest. You see, I didn't read English, I hope you know. I was taught in the primary school and secondary school enough to be able to express myself. And the reason is clear, you know why? Because English is the lingua franca in Nigeria. You say why? Because that's what when I speak, the Igbo man will understand me, the Hausa man will understand me, the Jukun will understand me, the Urobo man will understand me, and the Ijo man will understand me. It's English. And so I just had to listen at school and learn to communicate in English. Sometimes we make mistakes in our expression of English, whether in writing or in speaking, but then you still understand what we are saying. And that's the good thing about this kind of language, that we all agree that we are going to communicate through this. So I want to do a little bit of exercise with the English of this Bible. And I want you to please tell me if I'm right or wrong. These same verses. Now, look at it. Now, look at your Bible. Now, I'm reading now. May God remove thee. Okay? And then skip everything to verse 21. Now, may God make you complete in every good work. Is it correct? Yes. Is it grammatically sound? Yes. Does it convey my desire? Yes. Now, why all these ones that are loaded there? That's what I want to teach you. That's what I've been talking about. That's who you are and what you have. And I want you to carry it like that from now on. So all my qualifying of God and our Lord Jesus Christ is to let you see where you stand and what you have. So now, may the God of peace, can we deal with the God of peace for a moment? Can I quickly say this? that the God of peace is only known by the redeemed of the Lord. To those outside, to the unbeliever, is the God of revenge. Say, vengeance is mine. I will repay. That is, to those who live by the law, is an eye for an eye. To this tax sinner who is not born again. You know who God is? He's the thrice holy God, the holy and terrible God, the consuming fire. When you hear God, you want to, in fact, you begin to panic. When you see some manifestations, even here today, you go, because that's what is expected. It should strike fear. But to the born again, redeemed by the blood, is the God of peace. That's why we call him the Prince of Peace. And that's why in explaining this peace mission, he said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. They can't understand it. That's why Paul will write, he said, look, why do you allow yourself to be troubled and fret like those who have no God in this world? He said, don't you know that you should be careful for nothing? But by prayers and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your request what? Be made known to God. Then what happens? Then the peace of God that passes human understanding will garrison, that's a military term, around your heart and mind. So where people are fainting and dying, you are sturdy and steady. Somebody say, God of peace. Ladies and gentlemen, things do happen on earth and we haven't seen half of them yet. Man's heart will fail them. But the children of peace will walk in peace. That's why Paul again will write in the Bible. He said, look, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it is what? In righteousness. And that's why we cannot overemphasize the fact that don't play with sin. But it's what? Founded on what? Righteousness, what? Peace and what? Joy. How? In the Holy Spirit. See, Paul has a way of combining truths to drive things home. Why not just in righteousness, peace and joy? Why in the Holy Ghost? Hey, your life henceforth is in partnership with the Holy Ghost. Oh. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on, everybody. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on, everybody. We're just talking of the God of peace. So you can see that we can't just assume that this God is God of peace to everybody. It's not true. When they saw the face of Moses and Mount Sinai, I haven't been the presence of God for a while. They fled. They moved far from the mountain. Touch it is death. But for you, the child of God, look, you thrive in his presence. In the presence of God, hallelujah, joy. In the presence of God, hallelujah, joy. In the presence of Jesus, oh hallelujah, joy. In the presence of hallelujah, joy. Hallelujah, joy. Hallelujah, joy. Oh, in the presence of God, hallelujah, joy. I'm not saying there won't be challenges. I'm not saying there won't be trouble. There'll be trouble like every other person have troubles. But in the midst of your trouble, there is peace. There is joy. There is a confidence in the fact that God will see me. He's the God of peace. Says in the presence of the Lord, there's what? Fullness of joy. In his right hand, there are what? Pleasures forevermore. So, you know what Sammy said? He said, the Lord I have kept at my right hand, so I will never be moved. He's the God of peace. And now that will show you what actually happened in the Garden of Eden. If I can just quickly remind you, man was enjoying and basking and thriving in the presence of God until man decided to go against the law of God. And if you must understand this, I'm just bringing it by the way. You see what's bringing by the way? Everything God has made had come through the strength of words, including you. And when man that God made in his image after his likeness to have dominion here on earth will fall, he came again through the deceit of what? What? And so what happened? That translated them from his presence into another place. And when they heard God coming down in the cool of the day, the Bible said, oh, they welcomed him with singing and dancing. Come on, talk to me. After the fall, they fled. Man is still fleeing from the very presence that made you and promoted you. And that is exactly why Good Friday, that's why Easter Sunday, and that's why we are seeing what we are seeing and reading what we are reading in the Word of God. So he made mention of the fact that the God of peace, who brought back to life, who initiated and fulfilled the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't call him the Lord, he said our Lord. I mean, if it's your Lord, say my Lord. If it's not your Lord, keep quiet. If it's your Lord, say my Lord. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, say, my Lord. And let the devils get mad. He is my Lord and Savior. He's my glory, my shield, the lifter of my head. I am not ashamed of it. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. It says, who brought back to life, or who brought again, our Lord Jesus Christ. That great shepherd of the sheep. In fact, the first service, I enumerated the characters in this little passage. I said, the God of peace, then Jesus, our Lord, the great shepherd is the same character there. And then, of course, the sheep. Come on, church. The sheep. And if I'm going to give a personality to another one, but I won't, I'll say the blood of Jesus, because he's given his rightful place. Oh, yes. Especially mentioned. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And so the whole talk is about covenant. No, you are too quiet for me. So I've talked about God of peace. Can we talk about our Lord? What do you understand by lordship? That means I have yielded the control of my life to him. Not as a robot. This is willfully. Willingly. In fact, I look up to him for guidance. I know him as my Savior. I mean, when I relate to him, when I think of him, I see a shield, I see a lifter, I see glory. He is my Lord. He's made my today possible. He's the reason I'm still alive today. He's the reason I'm still going on today. He's the reason I'm who I am today. I can't do without him. He is my Lord. I live to serve him. I ask for grace to satisfy him with my entire life. He is my Lord and my Savior. Serving him gives me joy. In fact, that's my promotion in life. That's my elevation in the kingdom. Serving the master. Now I understand why Paul would say, I'm a bond servant of the Lord. I'm ready to die for a cause. If he could die to make me who I am, I wonder what I can hold back from him. If he held back nothing from me, I think it will only serve me good to hold nothing back from him. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, he's our Lord. I don't have some doors that I shut that he won't go into. Let every door of my life be lifted up and let the King of Glory flow through. Let him just walk through at will. In the name of Jesus. That's the idea and that's the prayer. He's our Lord. Then he's the great shepherd. Oh my goodness. Don't you know that God will never deal with you except in covenants? Come on, think about it. It does not matter your knowledge or your lack of knowledge. Let me tell you some truth about yourself this morning, which is true about me too. So I'm not preaching down at you. I'm only letting us know what exactly is reality. Because that's the covenant you operate. So I release boldness to your life. I release favor in the name of Jesus. And please hear me clearly. God loves you perfectly like he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the apple of his eyes. Don't let the devil tell you lies. The thing that the devil got you into that made you feel that you are the worst person. You are the object of the earth. That is for that very reason that he died. So rise up from among the dead. You are the redeemed of the Lord. And the truth is that when you know this truth, you will not go back. The dog will not go back to his vomit. You are more than a conqueror. You are the head and not the tail. You are the light of the world. You are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. You are seated with him in the heavenly places. You are a king here on earth. I say you reign on earth. You are a priest on earth. In the name of Jesus, you are a priest on earth. I say you are a priest on earth. Whatever you decree is decreed. Whatever you bound is bound. Whatever you lose is loosed. In the name of Jesus, I say whatever you bind is bound.